Should auld acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should auld acquaintance be forgot and days of auld lang syne? Happy New Year, welcome to 2025. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and it's the first episode of 2025. We are going into, we are rapidly approaching the 10th year of this show. The 10th year. This show premiered in 2015. It is now 2025. I knew when we crossed that threshold, I would start feeling kind of weird. And I'm feeling kind of weird. We're 400 and some odd episodes into this thing. I don't know how many. I'm not looking at a list right now. Covered so many Berenstain Bears books, I can't even name half of them. I don't even know where most of them are. I don't remember the plots of many of them, as you've most likely realized from watching this show. But I think we have a good one to start 2025 off on. It's a story that encompasses many of the values of Bear Country, many of the values of Mike Berenstain, and sort of falters at the end, fails a little bit. So we're going to take a look at the story. We're going to take a look at the ethical implications of the story, and we're going to look a little bit at how we could improve the lesson at the end, or maybe what it can be used to teach children about. This week's story is 2022's The Berenstain Bears Share and Share Alike. Share and Share Alike. It is a beginning reading book. It is level one, step into reading. As such, it has a pretty simple vocabulary, pretty basic story, but it's also deceptively complex in the ethics it brings up, the ideas behind the concept of sharing, the consequences of sharing, and the problems in a zero-sum sharing situation when you have limited resources and you attempt to share them amongst members of your community. With the balance needed to maintain harmony in a community that depends on others for sharing, without things happening to the detriment of the provider. We'll be looking at those ethical questions, I guess. I don't know. This is a Berenstain Bears podcast. What do you expect of me? What is this book? I mean, we've covered many an I Can Read book in the past, so I don't think you'd be too surprised to learn that it's a pretty simple and straightforward book. All right, so it's summer in Bear Country. It's hot. It's hot outside. It's bright, sunshiny. Not summer here. It is sunshiny here. It's my least favorite kind of weather. Bitterly cold, but also bright sunlight, which means that I'm miserable outside and I'm miserable in my car driving somewhere. Because for some reason, the sun just shines a lot more unforgivably in my eyes in the middle of winter. Not a fan of it. I would rather it be cold and cloudy than cold and sunny. I don't know why. Call me nuts. Well, it's not cold in Bear Country. It's unforgivably hot in Bear Country. And brother and sister and Honey Bear are in a what seems to be a rigid plastic kiddie pool, enjoying the splashings and the soakings and the wetness and the hoses and the buckets of water, having a grand old time. Mama and Papa sweating their tuchuses off. Papa is hauling what seems to be a wheelbarrow full of dirt and roots. Mama is holding a hoe that apparently they've been working in the garden or in the backyard, just in there wiping the sweat from their brow. I'm going to assume, knowing that brother and sister especially, but also Honey, are very responsible and sympathetic young cubs, the reason they are in the pool and Mama and Papa are just working by the sweat of their brow is because brother and sister and Honey have already done their chores and are taking a well-deserved break and not slacking off. I assume if they were slacking off, Mama or Papa or both of them would be addressing this. So the kids are in their little kiddie pool, Mama and Papa busting their buns, getting the yard looking nice. Sun is beating down. It's a hot day in Bear Country. Got that? That's our premise. Papa gets a little jealous. He sees the cubs cooling off in their pool. He can't jump in the kiddie pool, right? It's way too small for him. But he's like, man, I sure would love to love to cool off like my cubs are, but he can't get in the kids' pool. What is a bear to do besides stand there and sweat? I'm gonna say right off the bat, I love the illustrations in this book. I also like the way that Mike has colored Papa Bear's cheeks to show just how overheated he is. Apparently, he is so hot that the redness of his cheeks shows through his fur. So Papa's like, you know what? We need a bigger pool. So he buys a new pool. He sets it up himself. He fills it with water. So what we see is we see a great demonstration. We see a delivery bear unloading boxes into the yard. We see Papa raking the ground. He's clearing out space for this pool. We see him setting up the sides, following the instructions to the letter, which is, you know, not something we expect to see from Papa. He is being a very responsible bear. He's whistling while he works. He's filling up the pool from the water hose. We see boxes in the background. We see instructions in the background. He has done this to a T. Finally, he gets in the pool, and it is cool, and it is relaxing, and he is the happiest bear. And we see a very rare thing. We see Papa completely at ease, but in the background, uh-oh, trouble is brewing. We see the cubs in their little pool, staring at Papa, enjoying his big pool. So they're like, wow, a bigger pool. Let's jump in. Now, this is a beginning reading book, so the storyline is simplified. I can't believe the cubs didn't notice this pool being set up the whole time that Papa was setting it up, mere feet from them. But, oh boy, a bigger pool. Let's jump in. So the cubs jump into the bigger pool and start splashing around, and Papa looks slightly distressed. And he's like, wait a minute. You have a pool. Like, you have a pool. It's right over there. This is my pool. This pool is for me. The cubs look a little worried, and Mama comes up and she says, Papa, don't be selfish. Remember, share and share alike. Papa's like, right, okay, fine, great. He decides to share the pool with the cubs. So they laugh and they play and they splash. They're having fun. They're jumping on Papa. It's a grand old time. But then the cubs say, we shouldn't keep this pool is amazing. We shouldn't keep it to ourselves. We should share it with others. And Papa says, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean share it with others? And the cubs are like, we should bring all of our friends over to share in this wonderful new pool. And Papa's like, but then there won't be enough room for me. To which Brother says, Papa, don't be selfish. Remember, and this is Sister, share and share alike. And Papa's like, they're right. So the cubs go to the phone. They run to the phone. They call all their friends who show up. And it looks like, in addition to Brother and Sister, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other cubs. They bring their floaties, they bring their ball, they laugh and play, they splash and jump, and we see the water is overflowing the pool. Papa is sitting on the front stoop, forlorn and dejected, because he cannot fit in the pool. It is too small for him now. There is not enough pool left for Papa. And so Mom is like, hey, don't worry, you can have the cubs' little pool all to yourself. And he's like, great. So he goes into the cubs' pool, which he does not fit in, by the way. He can sit on the edge and soak his feet. He gets the hose and he runs it over his head. In the background, even the dog, there's even a dog now in the pool. He's hosing himself off and he sighs and he's like, well, as I always say, share and share alike. And that's the way the story ends. 2022's The Berenstain Bears, share and share alike. It's a simple, like I said, it's a simple little story. It's a beginning reading book, level one reader. The Berenstain Bears, share and share alike. Now, this book, I didn't know what to make of this book when I first read it. I was befuddled, I was bemused, I was confused and defuddled. I didn't know how to take it because it's set up like a classic Cub Club book or I Can Read book, which is we have our premise, we have a somewhat complex plot, but it's actually, instead of like one of the Berenstain Bears storybooks, instead of being set up towards a lesson, what we're building up to is a joke. That's how a lot of these earlier, like a lot of the Cub Club books felt like they were going to teach us something, but they actually ended up being a setup for a gag, a punchline, usually at Papa's. Typically, Papa came out on the bottom in these, but usually because of his own foolishness. And now I know I have a lot of listeners who are frequently critical of the Berenstains, Stan and Jan and Mike, for making Papa the butt of the joke, for portraying Papa as deserving of his own misfortune. Sometimes I believe that Papa is deserving of his own misfortune. That's the gag. That's the setup. Papa believes himself to be more capable of things than he actually is. he becomes the victim of his own, you know, he's hoisted by his own petard. He becomes the victim of his own self-aggrandizement. And it's the Cubs who are there to, like, pick up the pieces when he fails. And I don't have a problem with that. That's classic comedy. However, in later decades, Papa became less of a buffoonish character and more just kind of a put-upon dad. And even then, later on, less of a put-upon dad and just more of just a dad. He's just a guy. He's just some nice guy. However, when faced with that Papa encountering experiences that mirror or parallel the original Papa, he comes across looking less like a deserving buffoon and more like a put-upon sap, almost a schlemiel. He doesn't come across, the comedy is lost, and he ends up looking like someone who just sort of takes it. Like, as opposed to someone who deserves it. Someone who has misfortune dished out on him. And that we're just supposed to accept it as, like, that's what it's like being a parent. And that might be what Mike is getting at here. When you're a parent, at times, to your own detriment, you're forced to give up the comforts and benefits of your life for the comfort and benefit of your children. And sometimes that's the case. It's just one of those parent things. You can't have everything. Sometimes you gotta give up a lot for the benefit of your children. And I don't disagree with that. I mean, you chose to have these kids. Their needs at times must outweigh your own. However, the title of this book is Share and Share Alike. That's an expression, by the way, if you've never heard it. Share and Share Alike, which seems to mean you must share what you have, and you must share equally. You must make sure that people in your bubble, in your community, benefit equally from your own personal bounty. And that is not contrary to what we've learned of Bear Country in the past. Whether it's the benefits of sharing, whether it's the values of love, of community, of kindness, it all comes down to ensuring that everyone in Bear Town is an equal recipient of your own beneficence, is an equal recipient of the love and the caring that you give to others. And in that way, if everyone is playing that game, then everyone is benefiting equally and people live in some semblance of balance and harmony. However, what we're looking at here in the Berenstain Bears Share and Share Alike is we are not looking at a story of balance and harmony. We're looking at balance and harmony thrown off, and ending on that note. The balance and harmony of sharing is not lived up to in this story, and I was so, I don't want to say taken aback by it, but I was so sort of put off by it that I actually read a couple of articles. One is called Hide and Seek and Share by Thomas Whitlock, and one is from a book called Sharing by Design by Jeffrey Kokhui Chan and Yi Zhang. Hide and Seek and Share is a study of, I'm going to pull it up here, is a study of certain communities in Namibia who have developed, who are known for being very altruistic communities for whom sharing is a huge part of balance in the community. But the studies done by Thomas Whitlock focus on the fact that even though they have a dynamic sharing system where everyone partakes equally of everyone else's property, there is a practice of hiding in that system where you reserve a certain amount of, in this case they're looking at tobacco, but a certain amount of personal property that you stash away for your own use to ensure that the amount that you share, that you are not undone by your own sharing, and how that is not seen as a selfish act. It's a way of balancing their needs, the needs of the person, of the benefactor, with the constant requests the benefactor receives for tobacco or what have you. And that sharing isn't about following a strict set of rules. It's about making good decisions in the moment. Like saying, I will share, but I need to save enough for myself. And so what Whitlock gets through in his article is that sharing involves being generosity, but also, and equally important, the appropriate setting of boundaries. So you can connect and care about others while staying independent of others. So you can focus on your community while also taking care of yourself, meeting your own personal needs. And if everyone sets these boundaries while also practicing altruism and generosity, you have a society that can actually function almost like clockwork. You can meet the needs of others while making sure you're not doing it to your own personal loss. And I found that interesting. It's called Hide and Seek and Share, The Ethics of Sharing Between Presence and Distance by Thomas Widlock. And it's available online. You can find it. The other document is from the book Sharing by Design. And I'm going to pull up the chapter is called Sharing Ethics. This is from 2020. And Sharing by Design is about finding ways to share in a design, like when you're designing systems, when you're designing this one, a lot of it focuses on science and technology. But the moral and ethical consequences of sharing it within a system, you know, what are the ethics? Why is ethics important for sharing? What is the nature of the ethical experience in sharing behaviors and relations? And the chapter that I'm focusing on, which is, again, called Sharing Ethics, posits there's three different ways of experiencing ethics in sharing. They are namely sharing ethics as virtues, sharing ethics as principles of justice and beneficence, and sharing ethics as ethical expertise. But what I really want to focus on with them, with this one, and I know I'm fascinating you all, is that there are types of sharing that they focus on in this article. And those two types of ethical sharing are zero-sum sharing and non-zero-sum sharing. Zero-sum sharing is when you are dividing up tangible resources, like Papa Bear with the giant pool. You have a limited amount of resources, space within the pool, water within the pool. Non-zero-sum sharing is intangible resources like knowledge, expertise, resources that when you share them actually grow in proportion. You can actually spread them out without losing anything at the source. So love, ideas, education, things like that. That's non-zero-sum sharing. The pool doesn't get smaller the more it's divided. There's an endless supply of water and pool size in non-zero-sum sharing. So what we see in taking into account these two sources is that there's tensions between Papa Bear and the community in this story. We see that Papa wants to prioritize his comfort in the beginning of Share and Share Alike, but the social pressures and ethical considerations lead him to share, reflecting the balance that we looked at in the two articles. In most Berenstain Bear stories, the concept of sharing brings the family closer together and enhances their communal joy, which is how, when we look at systems and sharing in systems, fostering community and social harmony, that is what they meant, that is what our two authors meant in their book, Sharing by Design. You design systems to benefit everyone and to enhance joy and community. And Papa engages in the negotiation of boundaries. Now, we're going to look at that because that's where the system fails. Boundaries around sharing should be flexible and negotiated based on context. Widlock's article about the Namibian cultures observes that sharing is about balancing your self-interest against the collective good, or in concert with the collective good. And so here, self-interest is Papa's desire for comfort in a pool. The collective good is the desire of the community to share in that pool. And we have the outside forces of the sun beating down on Bear Country. It's very hot. People are looking for a way to cool off. And the cubs, having learned this practice from their parents, that sharing with others is always to the benefit of the greater good. So in the end of the story, Papa ends up isolated in a small pool that he does not fit in, and he's only able to cool off by running a water hose over his head. So how does that figure into the ethics of sharing? Because Papa, who is the source of the larger pool, he purchases the pool himself, he prepares the grounds for it, he builds it himself, He fills it himself by the sweat of his own brow. We know that Mama is also a money earner for the family, but the way the story presents itself is that Papa bought the pool himself. This was all his doing, because we're seeing this is Papa sharing his resource. What does this have to say for the ethics of sharing if Papa, in the end, ends up without anything that he set out for? He's uncomfortable. He's still hot. He has to physically move a hose over his head just to keep the sweat off of his brow. What does that have to say? Well, if we look at Whitlock's Hide and Seek a Share, Papa is pressured by societal expectations, and those are represented by Mama and the cubs, into sharing his limited resources. And in the story talks about how there's an ethical tension when the demand for sharing overrides your individual needs. So Papa's willingness to share leads to a situation where his own needs become neglected, highlighting how sharing can sometimes disadvantage the provider. And that's a huge thing in both of these articles. The provider, the person who is doing the sharing, if it happens to their detriment, that is simply altruism. That's not sharing. Again, this is not the Berenstain Bears, let's learn about altruism. The Berenstain Bears, let's learn about a concept of giving without a hope of benefit for oneself. That's not how Papa sets out to do this. And this is, again, a book about sharing. And the whole point of sharing is that things are divided up evenly amongst all of the participants, including the provider. Papa Bear loses his autonomy by the end of this. And Whitlock talks about part of what works in the Namibian societies he's writing about is that the setting of boundaries allows the providers to maintain their autonomy, to maintain their own sense of self by hiding. And that's the term he uses, hiding resources, reserving resources for themselves so that they don't lose everything in the process of sharing. Unregulated sharing, according to Whitlock, can lead to imbalances where the provider's needs are overlooked. And that's what happens to Papa Bear. Now, in sharing by design, we look at zero-sum sharing and fairness. Now, Papa is in a zero-sum scenario. There's a limited amount of space in the pool. There's a limited amount of water in the pool. Ethical sharing should involve principles that prevent the provider being excluded from the fair distribution in a zero-sum sharing scenario. Chan and Zhang, the authors of Sharing by Design, talk about the importance of designing sharing systems that consider all the participants' need. A ton of cubs show up at the end of the story. They overwhelm the pool. That's a lack of planning, right? If Papa Bear is excluded from the pool at the end of the story, they didn't think this through. That is a poor sharing system if the provider particularly is excluded at the end. All right, this is directly from their chapter. Ethical sharing is about balancing beneficence, doing good for others, with justice. That's the fairness of the sharing. Beneficence and justice are the two elements of ethical sharing. The cubs benefit from the pool. They socially benefit from inviting their friends over. They benefit from Papa's beneficence. Papa, however, experiences injustice by being excluded from his own beneficence. The principles are off. Things aren't balanced out. This is not a balanced sharing system. And so the story, the end of the story particularly, shows how sharing can lead unintentionally to an exploitation of the provider. Papa Bear's generosity, his beneficence, results in his own discomfort. So, in that chapter, there is a warning. Chan and Zhang, I don't know how you pronounce their names properly. I'm saying Chan and Zhang. I could be completely mispronouncing them. Forgive me, because I am. They specifically warn about sharing practices that disadvantage certain participants if they're not carefully managed. So we have a failure to reciprocate or even acknowledge the contribution. The cubs show up. They enjoy the pool. They never say thank you. They never acknowledge Papa's contribution. They never say, this is all because of you. Papa doesn't ask for it, but we see that he's put off by it. He's forlorn at the end of the story. And Mama is cold comfort. She does not say anything to him to say, like, let's work this out. No. So He's told not to be selfish. He's told to share and share alike. But this overlooks the whole purpose behind his acquiring the pool in the first place, which is his comfort and his relaxation. Ethical sharing has to balance altruism with self-care so that one person does not shoulder the entire burden of the sharing. This isn't sharing at the end of the day. It's become involuntary altruism. It's not even altruism because Papa's really put off by it. So the situation could have been improved if we had had better planning. Some of the suggestions could be work out a schedule. Maybe the cubs enjoy it for 15 minutes to 30 minutes, and then Papa gets to enjoy the pool by himself. Or you can be in the pool, but you can't splash and horse around for, you know, a good half hour so it's relaxing time. Or maybe you have to get out of the pool so you're not pruning up. I don't know. But this should be worked out, if not in advance, because it's too late for that, then at least now, you know, Papa can blow the whistle and be like, hey, everyone, this is unbalanced. Let's work it out. I get to spend 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes relaxing by myself in the pool, or if not by myself, we're all going to spend time just chilling out in the pool. And if we can't do that, then we're going to clear out the pool for a while, and then I get to enjoy it for 30 minutes. I don't know. We need to make sure that everyone has access. And we haven't even talked about Mama, who hasn't asked for access to the pool, but I'm sure she would like it. This is intentional design. This is sharing by design. And also, we need to learn to communicate, and we need to learn to set boundaries, because the fact that when the cubs are like, we want to be in the pool, and Papa's like, this is my pool, shows that there was zero communication. The cubs didn't even know a pool was being built. Zero communication between Papa and Mama and the cubs before the pool even showed up, meaning that boundaries were not set. You have to establish boundaries to balance your needs versus the needs of the community. This doesn't mean that Papa doesn't want to share. This means that the cubs and the adults, specifically Papa, were not talking to each other about these boundaries. We're not talking about sharing at the end of the day. And so it is sharing, but it is not sharing alike. We're not sharing alike. So what have we learned? Ethical sharing needs to be fair and inclusive, needs to balance beneficence with justice. Otherwise, we end up with no justice and Papa losing because of his own beneficence. We do not want the provider of the shared items, the zero-sum sharing system. We do not want the provider to lose out because of their own beneficence. We certainly don't want them to be left at a disadvantage. We don't want them to end up far lower than where they started, right? We need to remember that providers, and this comes from ethics by design, sharing by design, sorry. We need to remember that providers have rights as well. That if everyone has rights to everyone else's bounty, that needs must include the provider at the end of the day. Papa is the provider of the pool. Papa cannot lose out on this. We need to remember that his rights to access to the pool are just as strong as everyone else's rights to access. Now, of course, we don't know what's going to happen at the end of the day. The cubs will go home. Maybe Papa will enjoy, you know, after hours. Maybe he and Mama will enjoy some time in the pool afterwards. We don't know that. That's not part of this story. The story is about sharing and sharing alike, and Papa is definitely not sharing alike at the end of the story. And that effective sharing requires intentional design and communication. So, fair balance, beneficence with justice, remember the rights of the provider of the shared resource, and effective sharing. Design has to be intentional. Communication is key when it comes to sharing. We should have set up some boundaries early on. Papa Bear needed time to enjoy the pool by himself, or at least he needed to be involved in the decision to invite other cubs over. This would align the principles of fairness and beneficence, justice and beneficence. And then we would have a far more ethically balanced story of sharing, share and share alike. Now, how would you even begin to talk about this with children? Well, if you read this book out loud to your kids or they read it to themselves, you might say at the end, wait a minute, this doesn't seem like Papa's getting to share in his own pool. Why not? And the kids could say like, well, because the other kids all got in there and he wouldn't fit. And you could say, okay, well, let's talk about this. Is that fair? They might say, no, it's not fair. And then you can say, what should they have done to make sure that Papa got to enjoy the pool as well? And kids might say, well, he did get to enjoy the pool. He was in it for a while. But you're like, well, he doesn't look very happy. Why is he sad? Well, he got kicked out of his own pool. What could they have done ahead of time? Well, maybe they can work out a schedule. Kids are pretty smart at sharing. I hate to tell you this. Kids are pretty good at coming up with answers because they their whole lives are balancing out the fairness and unfairness of resources. Kids have a very limited supply of resources. They know what it means to share and share alike. But that is Share and Share Alike from 2022. And the resources, let me just read those out. You can find these resources online, the ones that I used. They are Sharing by Design from the Springer Briefs in Applied Sciences and Technology by Jeffrey Kokui Chan, probably mispronouncing it, and Yi Zhang, probably mispronouncing it, from 2020. And The Ethics of Sharing Between Presence and Distance by Thomas Whitlock from the University of Cologne, which is a paper he wrote and presented on the Halem and other San hunter-gatherers in southern Africa and how their ethical sharing, his study on their ethical sharing. He actually presented it. I love this. He presented it in 2021 at the Ethics of Sharing Conference in Denmark, for the Center of the Study of Ethics and Community, a whole conference on the ethics of sharing. There were some pretty cool sessions in there. Potential and barriers for sharing, symbolics of sharing on erotism, hospitality, and commoning, subsistence, solidarity, and pampering on Spaceship Earth. And these are all like Scandinavian people. So their names are all like Holst and Anders and Venser. And it seems pretty cool. I do not like a conference, but I do enjoy reading abstracts on conferences. This is a whole conference on sharing, which is just right up my road, in my cup of tea. The ethics of heathlands, sharing landscape, sharing shares and sharers. Does fiction reading make us better people? By Charlotte Christensen, which I actually think is an article I've read for another podcast, Empathy and Morality in a Literary Empowerment Program. I think I read that article and talked about it with my therapist. In any case, I'm getting off track. You can find these resources if you want. Maybe I'll link to them in the description of my show. But that's the marriage saying bear share and share alike. It's a great beginning, because going into the new year, remember to share. Remember to be beneficent. Remember to share with your community, to share with your loved ones, to share with everyone. But also remember to reserve your own stuff, to take care of yourself. If you share everything, you end up with nothing. And if you end up with nothing, you can't care for your personal needs. You have to also consider yourself. The bears are good at it, except in this book, which is probably the point of the book. I don't know. Talk about it with your kids. Talk about it with your loved ones. Are you sharing enough? Are you sharing too much? Do you need to pull the brakes and take account for your own personal resources and make sure you have enough for your own personal comfort and happiness? I don't know. Do I? Probably. I've got a lot of stuff around here. I'm pretty comfortable. But otherwise, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for reading along. If you're watching me on YouTube, thank you so much for watching. If you're listening to me on a podcast player, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back with more Berenstain Bears fun in 2025. We're going to be recognizing the 10th anniversary of this show when it happens, so don't forget to remind me. And I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.